Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 54. Thank you for joining us again. How you guys doing?
Good. Good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
What about you?
Pretty good. Somebody hit my truck today at Home Depot.
I was
pretty upset about that.
Oh boy, what happened?
So I bought my new tool of the week, right? I bought my auger from Home Depot. I bought a ground auger, a hydraulic ground auger, for like putting in sono tubes and fence posts. And when I bought it at the Home Depot, I bought it from the Home Depot rental department. And it was $1,000, which was a great price for what I got with a 12-inch auger and, you know, all serviced and all that shit.
It's got to be like $3,000, right? At least.
They're like $3,500. And it's funny because I was actually about to buy one like a month ago, and the guy had it listed. I actually went back and looked. He had it listed for $1,750. I was going to try to get him down a little bit. So I was already willing to pay more. But anyway, the guy, when he was ringing me up, I had my credit card in the machine, and it was in there for like a long time. So I was like, all right, it's gotta be done. So I pulled it out, and he's like, oh no, you pulled it out too early. Turns out they charged me twice for the freaking auger. So my great deal turned out to be not so great. So I called Home Depot. I went there today and whatever. So I was there. Then I went to the store, and as I was walking to the store, I saw this guy in a pickup truck with a bed full of wood, like kind of close to my car, but I walked away. So we shopped, whatever, came back out, and I had a note on my window that said, I saw someone hit your car, call me. So I called the guy. He actually worked for Bear, the paint company. So he was in the store. Oh, no, sorry. He was in the parking lot on the phone, but was still at the store. And he told me, he's like, I saw the guy hit it. He was like, the guy definitely knew he hit your car. I was waving at him and flagging him down. He just ignored me and pulled off. He's like, I got his plate number. I took a picture of his car anyway. So I called the cops. The cops said, you know, he goes, we can file a report. He goes, but it's going right on your Carfax. He's like, do you really want to have an accident on your Carfax? And I, you know, weighed the options. The taillight's only like $150, but just the principle of the fact that the guy took off just makes me like so angry. You know, he didn't dent the car or anything, but that was a shitty, really, really hampered
fucking
my
New York
experience.
That would never happen in Boston. Fucking people from New York suck. But I tell
you. And
that,
you know what it
that's
is?
The worst.
You know
what,
and I'll get this guy's address one way or another.
Yeah, we got to put it out there on the internet.
I'm putting it right on the internet. Yeah. I'm putting it right on the internet. I'm putting his name and his address right on the internet. That's it. Everybody will know. That's it. That's
sucks.
As my brother said. He's like, you got to dox him.
I did that.
I was thinking if I ever see his car at Home Depot again, I'm not going to touch his car because then I'll
his
have.
Lights.
No, I'm gonna surround his car with all the carts I can find. I'll spend an hour of my time just surrounding his car with shopping carts, like building a fortress around his vehicle with shopping carts. Or I'll park really close to his door. I'll do something non-invasive that I won't be able to get in trouble for, or put maybe a slice of bologna on his hood. Leave it on there.
Years ago.
The bologna wrecks the air out of his tires.
Why ruin a slice of bologna? But when I first started working at the pizza parlor, I hit a car in a parking lot. So I'm like, ah, shit. So the foreman would get bonuses, like accidents and all that shit, productivity. So if you got in an accident, the foreman would be pissed just because it was like taking money out of their pocket. So I call the foreman and I says, yeah, I can't find the guy. So I wrote a note and put all the information down, left it on the guy's windshield. He goes, oh, okay. He calls me like an hour later. He goes, what kind of car do you drive? So I told him and stuff. He went by and he took the note off the guy's car.
Oh my gosh, shit.
I was like, you asshole.
Sneaky.
So I never got in trouble for it, but I was like, what a piece of shit, you know. But I hate that. Just tell me where it is. I just hate that.
And you know what it is? My Home Depot has these like the pro spots, and they're great because they're huge. These like massive spots, and I like parking
contractors park in the pro section at Home Depot.
Well, what I like is it's not like some Home Depots. It's like under an awning. We don't have that, but it's just like a nice big.
So it's
just a big spot that the van fits in well, and this fucking guy, I'm so pissed.
Oh, jerk off.
I'm gonna find this guy. I'm coming for you. There's it looked like there was no damage to my vehicle, just the taillight.
Connections. We could get some people on this, right?
Dude, for $6, I could just put his license plate in a website and have his name, his address, his phone number. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not you can actually. I mean, in New York State, you can do it, too. It's just a pain in the ass. But you can just go to the DMV and say, hey, this person hit my car. Here's their license plate number. You can get their address. Huh. It's public. I think it's public domain.
I've never really understood how you can just look up people's addresses, though.
Dude, like, go on the tax map. When you go on the tax map, you get your name, your address. It's all there. I can. You know, that's how Jimmy got his property where the big black barn is. He looked up their name on the tax map and sent them a letter because they lived down in the on Long Island, I think.
Oh, wow.
That's how he got in touch with the people that own that property. Because I think, Derek, you might know, I think that's like 15 acres or something.
Yeah.
That he needed to buy to like have enough land or whatever. Because he didn't want to put the, like a building, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But anyways. So what's going on?
Well, we have to say something about our friend Aaron. At this point, everybody obviously knows about poor Aaron's passing due to a complication from surgery. Did they ever figure out exactly what happened?
Yeah, I don't know if it's. I mean, obviously something like that, but I mean, I don't think anything concrete. Yeah. I mean, I asked Jimmy to let me know when he hears from the family, just out of curiosity. I mean, I just spoke to him. I mean, I don't know how soon before he passed, but I talked to him that night, and it just kind of, you know, really rattled me, because it was like, you know, me and you would talk about it. It was funny. We felt like he had no friends, so we're like, hey, you got to talk to Aaron, you know, spread the word out there. We want to make sure people talk to him. And everybody I'm talking to, like, oh, I talked to him Tuesday. I talked to him Monday. It's just, you know, he had a lot of people that, you know, reached out to him. And, you know, I had quite a few people reach out to me on Instagram and stuff and say, hey, we're having a virtual memorial. And, you know, I did a couple of them, but it got to be a little bit too much. And just, it was just hard, you know, just, you know, hearing the same stories and repeating them and stuff like that. But it just came as a real shock, you know. It's just a young guy, and, you know, he was in, you know, the picture of health, but he wasn't in, you know, poor health. I mean, he wasn't in any worse shape than I am, you know, and it just, it's scary, you know, and it's just sad, you know. He's just a good guy, you know, so it's just a shame, you know.
Yeah, really, it just sucks. And you know, I sent Jimmy a note about, you know, like, I mean, and I know Jimmy listens to this podcast, so I know he's going to hear this, but, you know, it's as tragic as it was, as it is. I mean, I just think about all the people that he knew that he never knew before.
Oh, yeah.
Because he moved to East Durham and he met Jimmy and he went, you know, even if he was, like, you know, quiet and he kept to himself at first, right, when he first moved, you know, he would sit, he would eat lunch by himself, like Jimmy said, in Making It and, you know, all that stuff. Like, you know, he knew so many people. I mean, like, thousands of people knew Aaron and interacted with Aaron as a result of him kind of changing his life like that. And what's crazy is that it's not like Aaron wasn't in the Maker community before. He was. It was just like kind of almost a subset of it being in California with like the TV guys, you know. So it's like he was always involved, but he was always behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, versus someone that comes into the maker community that's totally from a different world, and then they have to break in. So if I feel like for Aaron to like kind of bring all that knowledge that he had and his experience was good for everyone, and it was obviously good for him. But
yeah,
what a terrible thing. But yeah. I think, you know, I said to Jimmy, you know, of all the things that he went through in his life, you know, he had so many friends before he passed away, and he had so many people that, you know, cared about his well-being, you know, probably, and in my thought is probably more than he ever had in his life prior.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So if you have to pick a time
that
your time's up, you want it to be when you have the most support around you and the most people that give a shit about you, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just, you know, him and Jimmy had, you know, a strange relationship, you know, and, you know, Jimmy knows it, and it's like, you know, anybody who says he didn't drive you crazy, he drove you crazy, but, you know, at the end of the day, he was driving you crazy because he just wanted to fucking help you, you know what I mean?
And, you know, he was a good guy.
It's like, what a problem that was to have, like, somebody in your life that just wanted to help you, you know? And, you know, Jimmy spoke of that on, you know, making it their podcast. And, you know, and I had told Jimmy that. And, you know, when he broke the printing press, I was like, Jimmy, just remember, like, he broke that thing because he was just trying to have that done before you got back to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy's like, you're right. You know, and, like, that was his only motive. It wasn't to, you know, show you how cool he was to fix everything up. He wanted Jimmy's life to be a little bit better. And this is going to be hard for Jimmy. We're joking around about it. Jimmy's going to be fucking, you know, chasing his tail for God knows how long, you know, trying to figure out where this was put. Where is this? Mm-hmm. What happened to this? Because Aaron just took care of everything. I didn't realize it till we were doing the show. And that fucking dude, you mentioned something. Dude, I mentioned top coating something, like a finish. Dude, I had a fucking email from him with 10 different top coats and how it's going to affect the sheen and the color and this and that. And I'm like, Aaron, like, I don't even know if I'm going to do the job. Like, you know what I mean? But he didn't care. Like, he just wanted to give me information that he knew, you know? And he was just like, you know, better than Jimmy's right-hand man. And he, you know, is sorely going to be missed by Jimmy because he just, you know, would do, you know, Jimmy would mention something and he would take care of it. And, you know.
And stuff that Jimmy never even mentioned he took care of. That's the craziest thing. Like, and Jimmy talked on making it about the, all the metal that Aaron had like organized. So when we went up there for the timber framing thing, before that, I was talking on Instagram about how I was going to be up there for the weekend. He hit me up and was like, dude, let me know when you're in town. I have something I want to run by you and get your opinion on. And I was like, okay. So we get there, and he had just dropped the printing press. So it was a little bit hampered. But, you know, whatever. It was upsetting, but at the end of the day, right, nobody got hurt. And we moved past it, right? We had a good weekend. Everybody had a good time. But he was like, oh, let me show you what I was talking about. And what he was talking about was organizing all that material. He was like, I just wanted to get your opinion on like how to tie in to this steel without welding, because they wanted to build a rack for that material, but there's propane tanks there that had vents. So he was like, I don't want to weld over here, but like, what do you think? And we made a little plan, and he's like, oh, that's, you know, that's a good idea. He's gonna make the racks in the shop, and then he was gonna bolt them to the thing, and we kind of talked about it, but Jimmy didn't ask him to do that. You know, he was like, oh, he goes, maybe this weekend, you know, if everybody has times, he goes, we could get, you know, 10 or 15 guys together and we could just move all this material. Like, that was just his thought, you know, and he basically was asking me for help to get everybody else to come in and help because he didn't want Jimmy to ask everyone to help. But they just wanted to do it because he just wanted to do it. He knew how much better it would make the productivity of the shop if he went and did all that. You know, and
that's hard to come by, is finding somebody like that that goes above and beyond. That's going to be a big hole for Jimmy to fill because it's extremely rare that you have someone that goes above and beyond and has pride in the work they do, and not just someone who's trying to do the bare minimum. And that's something I've learned, you know, just recently trying to find, you know, people to come work for me. And it's hard. It's not easy.
It's finding somebody who gives a shit. You know, about what they're doing. And it's like, you know, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, his videos. It wasn't this. And that's what, you know, I said to Jimmy, because Jimmy was just so obsessed about Aaron not completing tasks and stuff. And I was like, you know, I just think it was like, you know, Aaron got joy out of watching you, like, complete your tasks. And that's why, like, he, you know, fixated on getting those things done. Like, his tasks really weren't important to him. Like, he knew that that wasn't, like, the thing, you know. Like, the thing was your tasks. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where he got, you know, the joy. You know, he truly
yeah.
enjoyed, you know, making Jimmy's life easy, making Jimmy's life successful. And, you know, and he was, like Jimmy said, you know, he was happy to be the guy behind the guy, you know. And it just,
yeah.
It's just very, you know, difficult to find somebody like that, you know. And,
yeah.
And it just, you know, on the show, he would sit there and he would just organize, like 5 pounds of screws. You know what I mean? It's like, who the fuck wants to do that? You know, and he would just do
right.
it, and, you know, and he'd just stay busy doing it, you know. And I think he just liked to stay busy and like to be like, hey, I did that, you know. So it's just, yep. it's too bad. He's a good guy, you know. I'm glad I talked to him, and I'm glad, you know, I didn't say, let me talk to him another time, you know. And when I did talk to him, he didn't want nothing, you know. I just wanted to send him something, bring him something, give him something. And he's just like, no, he's like, mm-hmm. he's just like, yeah, he goes, those storage containers, I'm not going to be able to use in the lockers. He's like, just take whatever you want. Use whatever you want. And I was just like, dude, I just want to like send you a magazine or something. You know? And it's, it just, you know, he just didn't want to, you know, care about himself. He just wanted to help everybody. So it's just sad. It's just, you know, you could go on and on all night about it. But he's just going to be sorely missed, and it's just a shame. But
oh, can you hear him, Paul? No.
No.
No,
Derek, we're losing you.
Well, it's my thing says recording still.
Oh.
Did you lose me?
We missed everything that
yeah,
you just said.
Yeah, we missed everything you said for the past 45 seconds.
But I think his...
yeah, my thing still
yeah,
says recording.
No, I Derek, we missed what you said.
Oh God. You got to be kidding me.
Oh.
Hold on. Can you hear me? Can you see me? I can hear you. Hold on.
All right.
Yeah, we missed some of what you said there, Derek. But
yeah,
I think
it's still,
might
yeah, it still
be on
said
your
it was,
track. So
yeah.
hopefully,
can you hear
it will
me
be.
Now?
All the people who are listening to this are going to be like, what the hell are these guys talking about? I could hear Derek perfectly.
Yeah.
But we can't.
Yeah. yeah.
Can
but,
you hear me now?
But no, I mean, you know.
Now we
yeah,
can.
Yeah.
yeah.
But
so
anyway.
You, yeah,
it,
you can edit that out.
Yeah, it's a real shame. So everybody's upset about it. And Jimmy obviously was the closest with him. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much Jimmy eulogized Adam, Aaron, excuse
yeah.
me, Jesus. Jimmy eulogized
funny you would
Aaron.
Mention
is
Adam.
That the right word? Eulogied?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. yeah
he gave a fantastic good. Eulogy to Aaron
yeah.
in the Making It podcast. And you can't get through it without being yeah, you can't get through it without just getting broken up. I was very emotional
difficult.
Listening to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very difficult, but it's like required reading, you
yeah,
know. And I think that you have to put yourself through listening to it to understand his impact on you know on one of our friends. So
yeah,
I'll
Bob
put a
and
link
Dave
to it
did a
notes.
Great job just listening. You know, they were good. You know. So,
yeah, and yeah. Speaking of Adam, right? Adam C did a tribute portrait of Aaron. If anybody saw,
oh,
our friend Adam
it?
C.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see that.
Yeah, he did. It was on his Patreon, I believe. But I did see a portrait of Aaron on Adam C's Patreon. So go follow Adam C on Patreon and. Yeah. Be a patron of his and then you can see this portrait of Aaron, and I'm sure Jimmy will wind up doing some sort of print or something. I don't know. I've been trying to think of like something that Aaron cared about that we could like donate to in his honor, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, enough about that sadness.
Yeah,
let's talk about something positive. Derek, looks like your cabinet came out great, but I don't know if you
yeah.
can hear us because your mic keeps cutting out.
Yeah, I mean, can you hear me or no? Can you hear me now?
I don't know.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Paul, what have you been doing?
Well, Chris, I'm back into crypto. I'm back into crypto. I'm back into stocks. Now's a perfect time. Bitcoin's going back up.
Doge, you seen Doge?
Doge is going back up. Now, did I lose $6,000 a couple months ago on Bitcoin? Yeah, maybe.
Well, no. Losing it would have been selling it.
Well, no,
at that
I didn't
point.
Do that. Did it go down $6,000? Yeah, it did. It might have gone down $6,000, but it's going back up.
But you hold. You hold. You hold. You don't. You got diamond
you
hands.
Hold. Diamond hands, dude. I don't. I never sell.
Never sell. How much sheep do you have, though?
I
have
don't have
some
any
sheep.
Of that shit. I dude, put a couple hundred in sheep. Doge. Why is that going up now?
Well, I mean, I bought it at twice of what its current value is, so it has not been good for me. But if it could go to a dollar, I'd have $9.5 million. So that would just be
that would
fantastic.
Be nice.
But Doge is Doge hit 35 today. Did you see that?
I did see that, and then Bitcoin and Ethereum. I have a little Doge, and then I mostly have Bitcoin and Ethereum. But that's. No, I'm into some legit stocks because I know that's a risky road to go down. But I do have some crypto.
So funny.
I don't know. It's crazy. I'll tell you who's really freaking screwed me is my boy Dave Portnoy. I love him, but I bought some of that Penn National Gaming stock, dude. I lost another.
Which one is that?
I bought it. It's what the company that owns Barstool.
Oh.
And so I bought it at like $120 a share, and now it's currently at $70 a share.
Oh my god.
But other than that, I've been doing pretty well on all my other shit.
That's good.
But what are you going to do? I'm still up overall.
Yeah. You got to hold.
You got to hold.
Yeah. I've been I use this app. I don't remember which one it is now. One of the crypto apps where it'll tell you if it moves a certain percentage in a certain amount of time.
Oh, really?
So if any crypto moves,
oh shit,
there he goes. I think he was getting out of the car.
Oh,
it's gonna stop recording. Oh no, it's still going. We'll
That's
just keep going.
Bizarre. All right, well.
We'll just keep going. He doesn't give a shit about crypto anyway.
Yeah.
There's an app that I have that if a currency moves by a certain percent. Over the course of 15 minutes, it'll send me an alert that
so
it's
you
up,
got
up
all
or down.
The little tricks up your sleeve. If but there's one I thing didn't... about Chris, he's always got a trick up his sleeve. He's always got an
What's
angle.
What's funny, though, is that it just shows the unbelievable volatility because it'll be
so
Doge
insane.
Up 20%. Then 2 seconds later, I'll get another alert down 20%. And I'm just like, oh.
Is like... this the downfall of the American economy? Most likely. This is going to cause major problems.
Once it gets regulated, it just won't be fun anymore.
Yeah. And then all the super wealthy people will either squash it or just control it all.
Yeah.
We got no shot.
If I could make any money on Doge, it would be really helpful for me in my life. So I'm just going to hold.
You could hold on the Doge.
I'm holding.
But I do
well,
have
see
some...
what Mark Cuban just said about
what
Doge?
Did he say?
He said him and Elon Musk just started talking about how they feel it's the most stable platform or some bullshit. And that's what brought the price up. That's why everything's going up. Because Mark Cuban is just, I think, setting his kids up to be like billionaires with the crypto that he's buying them. And by artificially
is that
pumping
fact or
can you imagine if a global currency can get doubled in value in a day over two guys tweeting, it's not stable. The guy who owns a basketball team and then Elon Musk, who makes the world's freaking shittiest cars, which is a whole nother thing I'd like to get into. But anyway, I don't know.
They have some quality control issues.
Because, you think? I mean, you saw that picture I sent you.
Yeah, did you see the video of the Tesla door hitting the bus, though, that I
sent? No, no. What, you sent it to me?
I sent you guys. You know what it was? None of you guys followed
How is that
it. So
possible?
There's this video of a Tesla Model X
with
the door that opens, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the person doesn't realize the door is open, and they're driving, and then they clip a bus.
Oh, my God.
How is that possible?
And it's just, it's so bad. Oh, it's such a bad, like, accident. Like, it's, like, I don't even know if you don't total the vehicle after that.
You must have to, because it probably...
Watch.
Oh, my God. In London? Is that in London, those buses?
I think so.
Holy shit. Yeah.
So bad. I mean, like... And I can't imagine the car, right? How does the car let you do that?
Wow.
I'm on a little play again. There you go.
Oh, my God. Ooh! They could have killed the freaking bus driver.
Right?
Look, the bus driver was right there. That's where it hit.
Boom.
Fun fact, those buses are designed by, I think, Heatherwick Studio, which is a pretty cool industrial design firm. The one useful thing I learned about in my year at Parsons School of Design was I discovered this super interesting industrial design firm. They've done, you know the thing Vessel in Manhattan?
Mm-hmm,
what is it?
Yeah.
What project is that? Like Hudson Yards?
Hudson Yards, yeah.
They designed
that.
People
jumping off of.
We got to figure out a way to get rid of some people.
Yeah, they're going to close it permanently because some 12-year-old kid committed suicide in front of his family like a month ago.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. It never ends. It really doesn't.
Never ends. You give people something cool to look at, and they'll find a way to fucking ruin it.
Oh, my God. You know what? There's just too many people.
Yep. Anyway.
Jesus Christ. But anyway,
what's the name of the company?
Heatherwick Studio,
Studio.
Yeah, they've designed amazing stuff all over the world. They've designed, I think, the new buses for London, all sorts of crazy bridges and structures. They're really, really interesting. They designed this bridge. I don't know if it was in London or the Netherlands or something. It literally unrolls over this like canal. It's really cool. If whoever's listening, you should check
and
out their website.
It's
functional. Yeah, it's like a footbridge or something. I haven't looked at it in a while.
Yeah, there was that was one of the things that I had this similar experience in art school. Like what you just said. You're like, I got one good thing out of Parsons, right? Like there was a few designers and artists that I learned about at school.
Yeah,
but not that many that like I actually gave a shit about whose names I remember. And one of them was this designer, Mark Newsom. You ever heard of Mark Newsom?
Sounds familiar.
And the thing that I liked of his work was he had, and you know, the illusion of like these people being craftsmen goes away immediately, right? As soon as you start doing research, you realize that none of these designers could fucking make anything.
Yeah.
They can't even make
That's
like
the
clay
thing.
Model. You know, they like do a sketch and then they send it out, but this guy designed this really cool, horrifically uncomfortable-looking chair called the Lockheed Lounge. At the time, it was the most expensive piece of furniture that had ever been sold by Sotheby's.
Jesus
and I'll show
Christ.
You guys a photo. So it's a foam lounge chair with shaped aluminum body panels riveted to it.
Oh, like a plane. Whoa.
Like a plane.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And it was so as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is amazing. But the reason that I loved it, and you know, we are all from the same kind of mindset, is like, I would love to make it. Not that I want to draw it and pay someone else to make it. And then I found out that like he like found a body shop in his town and like they made it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, and you see, and I watched a video and it's these like old world, like body craftsmen, you know, like guys that
those
built.
Are the people I have more interest in.
Yeah. And these guys are shaping all these metal and then he's selling it for $4 million, which as a person that builds art for other artists, you know, whatever, I understand it. It doesn't really bother me that much, but me being impressed with him faded and just his design work and the craftsmanship of what he's designed.
Yeah, I never got that.
Super interesting. So Mark Newsom is a great industrial designer to look into.
That's why I never got it. Like these other artists.
I
never
got
it.
Stuff. And he did stuff out of solid granite that was amazing too. But you know, like some factory in India probably produced it because, you know, he's not. That's why I like Jonathan Price. We've talked about him on the...
Oh, yeah.
The other people making your stuff? Yeah.
Or I think that guy, right?
Yeah.
Can you hear Derek?
Well, Well, yeah. Jonathan Price, and I think, Derek, you might be like a second behind me. That's why I like Jonathan Price, because I feel like he's involved with the creation of his sculptures. Like, I don't think, you know, obviously he's not making all of them, but, like, you see him in the studio getting the stuff built, you know? We've talked about him on the podcast before as well. He makes really, really cool stuff, but I don't know. At a certain point, I get it. You have to pay somebody else to do it, but some of these guys just draw shit on a napkin and then they make $25 million making it. I don't know.
I understand that you're needing assistance and paying people to do it, but to me, you should be, the artist should be the one with the skill and the know-how and the knowledge to craft their own art. They should be the conductor. A lot of the, from what you're telling me, a lot of these people don't have a clue what's going on.
No, they don't.
And they just come up with some crazy thing. And a lot of what you've showed me, what they come up with is not even close a lot of times to the end result, just because it's not possible. It just doesn't even make sense. But I don't know what the hell is going on.
I mean, that's very – I mean, I just talked to my clients today that have the art fabricating company. Yeah. They just sent me a drawing for these, like, they call them vines, and they're like, well, here's the 3D drawing. And I'm like, okay. And my friend is like, well, they want them bent to be exactly like the 3D drawing. And I could show you guys the drawing. It's arbitrary as could be. These random bent whatever, you know, like it you could never quantify these bends, Paul.
Yeah.
Like, impossible.
Yeah.
Unless you had a 3D CNC bender that, like, you know, how the as the wire comes out, it's being formed.
Yeah. Like one of those mandrel.
I said to Serena, my friend who owns the company, that, you know, I said, like, well, these things should be, like, hand bent, you know, like, and they should be bent with the artist there to, like, decide if it should go a little bit more. And she's like, yeah, they just sent it out to be bid to be built.
See, that's like, because
I was like, I
can
make them
to me.
Yeah, I was like, it's five, whatever it was. It was 5/16 rod bent in like a tripod shape for a vine. And I'm like, yeah, I could do this over my leg. Like, you could bend it over your knee. That's how thin this material is.
Okay.
But someone should have their hands in deciding exactly what it's supposed to look like. Like, it didn't seem right to have someone else do it. And she's like, yeah, they just sent it out to bid. So they asked us for a price. And I'm like, you know. Like, it seemed like the kind of job that you get a call back on. Because they're like, oh, could we just, like, make it a little bit different? But nobody wants to touch it. So I'm like, I'm all set. I'm all good with that.
What bothers me is, like, you and, like, Damien Hirst could make the same exact thing. And yours would be worth zero, and his would be worth, you know, $3 million. Like, that's the upsetting thing, because most of it is name recognition. Now, a lot of the shit he's made
99%.
Is incredible. But it's a whole big racket. A lot of it is. Mm-hmm. But you should be able to look at art and not know who made it, and that should and how beautiful it is, or that should determine what it's worth. Not, you know, because someone's famous and they didn't even lay a finger on the creation of this thing.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't agree. I'm not saying they got to do every single thing, but they should be involved every step of the way. You know, the fact that someone's just sending in a drawing and it's made in a different state, or, you know, they haven't even seen it.
Sometimes it's not even
a
drawing.
It keeps breaking up on my end.
Yeah, like, hey, like, I just bid another one, actually. It's a box with steel spikes all facing the center.
Okay, well,
I'm like, okay, sure. Derek, can you hear us?
Can you hear Derek?
Can you hear me at all now?
I can't hear Derek at all. This is a disaster. And
it keeps breaking up on my end.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is a normal episode for us.
A couple disconnects.
Right, like 2 hours of editing that I have to do to, like, fix it. That's the funniest thing about Jeff Fader. Yeah, we can hear you.
I can't hear Derek at all.
Oh, interesting.
I can hear you perfectly.
When I talk to Jeff, or Jeff talks about it in his podcast, he's like, I don't edit a thing. I don't do anything. Craig has to do all of it. I'm like, that must be nice, dude. Oh, God.
What the hell's going on?
Poor Derek's out in the woods somewhere.
This is a disaster.
It's fine. Everybody's still listening. So I got confirmation from our friend Tyler Bell, because I always talk about him in the episodes. He texted me the other day. He goes, by the way, I listen to every episode all the way to the end. I was like, dude, you're the best. I said, we appreciate you.
I was talking about
in one of the last episodes how I was like, where's my tennis racket, right? Like, how come I haven't got my tennis racket? So he messaged me, he texted me, and he said, like, dude, I'm sending out the tennis rackets next week. He's like, I listen to every episode. So shout out to Tyler. I wonder how's his latest video doing? Let's see. It's probably not doing as well as Stuff Made Here, but it's definitely doing well.
Dude, the fucking kid's crazy.
He's nuts. Did you watch his video, Paul? The bow and arrow video?
No. When did he post that one?
Dude,
Stuff Made, not Tyler.
Oh,
Stuff Made Here posted this video.
Dude.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see
dude,
that.
It's just
I'm
the
sure
the thing
it's
is
insane.
Ridiculous. Dude, he punches himself in the face 30 times.
He earned his money just for that.
Oh, my God,
I always used
dude.
To say to myself, like, who are the people that are building airplanes or, you know, work at Sikorsky making helicopters or making, like, you know, incredible things function, because everyone I always come in contact with is stupid. That's the type of person that does that stuff.
Yeah.
I found one.
Yeah.
Because the stuff he does is insane.
Dude, it's crazy. It's like, just even think of it, you know?
Why is he not, like, working... Like, I'm surprised some...
Well, he was. Well,
like Lockheed Martin hasn't, like...
Why would he work for anyone?
Yeah, but,
dude,
like...
He's probably making $70,000
a month.
You think, like, DARPA wouldn't, like, scoop him up or something? And, like...
But why would he want to? They'd have to pay him, like, $3 or $4 million a year to make it worth his while. Right now, and he gets to hang out in his basement with his wife.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Well,
I guess
he can always
do that if he wants to.
No, it was sponsored by that, what's the 3D printer company there? Not the, resin ones there. Yeah, that's what I was going to
say, too.
The,
it's not Glowforge, something
Labs.
Like that.
Form Labs. He was an engineer for them, and, you know, they basically were like, hey, man, you got to go pursue this. And so, you know, he looked like he had a really good job with them, and, you know, he made a run for it. And, I mean, the fucking kid just kills it every time. Amazing.
It's insane.
Dude, just for some context, he has almost 2,000 patrons.
Oh my God.
And his smallest tier is $5 a month.
Oh God.
The math on
and
that.
He has, so he's already getting 10,000 a month just from Patreon at the bare minimum, you know? So good for him. I mean, that's amazing. Then he's getting 4 million views on a video. He has 3 million YouTube.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Subscribers, he's got to be charging, you know, like, I don't know what Form Labs paid him for the ad that he did, but it couldn't have been less than 25 or 30 grand for that video, you know, if not more, because with his track record, and he used to work for this company, so maybe he, like, hooked him up, but with his track record, he could go to any company and go, I'll give you, like, a 3-minute long ad read that people will genuinely listen to, and my video is pretty much guaranteed to get at least 4 million views. Like, that's $100,000 value to any of these companies. It has to be. And so, I mean, he's got to be just making more money than he ever could imagine
that
he would
make. How many
subscribers
does he have?
3 million?
1 million.
Wow, yeah. That's fast, though.
And his last five videos, right? This is going from the most recent one. 4.5 million, 4 million, 6.5 million, 4.5 million,
wow.
15 million views.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, he's got 150 million views on YouTube in how long? His freaking channel's only been up since March 3rd, 2020.
Oh,
so his channel's
God.
Only been up for a year and a half.
Holy
wow.
shit.
Wow.
Good for him.
But he's undeniable,
yeah.
you know, the stuff.
That's right.
Making.
That's 100%. I mean all of this in a positive way. He is.
Yeah.
He has earned every dollar that he has made, and bravo to him. He's got to be. We have some other friends that make a lot of money on YouTube. He has to be doubling that amount, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
And you know the values that I'm talking about.
I know.
Yeah.
That's
you're talking about me, right?
I was talking about
one
you.
Of them right here.
I was talking about the $52 a month that you get off from Patreon.
His Patreon's killing mine. Wow. I'm not even
I'll tell you who's
that.
Freaking killing this guy is my boy Timmy D. Makes about $150,000 a month off of Patreon.
Does he really?
He does. He does. It's
Who?
Crazy.
Tim Dillon.
Who the hell's Tim Dillon?
The Tim Dillon show.
Tim Dillon's one of the greatest things.
Oh,
one of the
my God. $164,000 a month.
Yeah, he's killing it. It's crazy.
It says it right on Patreon. $164,000 a month.
Wow.
Tim Dillon's the greatest thing to come out of this pandemic.
Wow. That's crazy.
He?
Good for
he's
him.
Am I supposed to know who he is?
Dude,
so
did you see? I just looked up Andrew Schultz's podcast has a Patreon, and he's got his value up there. $100,000 a month
Holy
they're getting
shit.
For Patreon.
Wow.
21,000 patrons because they do exclusive episodes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Tim Dillon has all these different tiers.
Wow. Good for
and
him.
One of them
I'm
going to
start
all,
doing
like,
exclusive.
Yeah? I told you to get that OnlyFans going.
Wow.
I'm going to.
I was just talking to Justin Mabee about that. About me. I said, dude, you should have an OnlyFans. But it was for a message that I had sent him about something else, so anyway.
Yeah.
That's for the after show. You wanna hear what I'm talking about in the you gotta go
the
to the
after
show.
Show. You know what we should really do, just to be funny, is just make an OnlyFans and actually post stuff related to the podcast on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that's originally what it was intended for. I think it was supposed to be just like a Patreon competitor, and somehow it just took a turn.
Yep. And then it's funny because there was a recent thing where Patreon started having issues with people trying to do OnlyFans style shit on Patreon, and then Patreon taking them down. I don't know why you wouldn't just do it on OnlyFans though. I don't know.
That's
like
true.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
maybe the payout.
I mean, I don't
better.
Know. Like, does anybody do anything legitimate? Oh no, I'm sorry. It wasn't Patreon. It was Twitch. It was there was a subculture of Twitch of girls that would just sit in hot tubs and go
on
Twitch.
Oh, I heard about that. Like,
and they
hot
were making
tub live
hundreds
streams.
Of thousands of dollars in their live streams just
fucking
sitting
me
in
and
a hot
Braz
tub.
Were doing that.
And Twitch,
we didn't get a dime.
Twitch killed it. Yeah, you could have been a famous Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
In the hot tub.
Yeah.
Man, you really fucked
Fuck.
Up.
Yeah. That's
you
bad.
Really
Dude,
you
the
really
place we're
up.
At, there's a hot tub here that's locked up. This guy did it right, though. He's got, like, these special straps that lock. There's no penetrating this thing.
Oh, bummer. You should make a video for your YouTube of you getting in, like a lock-picking lawyer.
I put it on my Instagram, but I don't think it posted. It's a shame. A damn shame.
So
shitty
funny.
Reception up
hot
there.
Hot tubs are just
so
big petri dishes.
What are you gonna do?
That's all a hot tub
That's
is.
Right. So Derek, you recently finished two fantastic projects, two nice pieces of furniture.
Yeah.
You want to talk about them at all?
Yeah. Well, they've been sitting around for a while.
Yeah, they're not too recent, Chris.
They got
all right.
Moved around. Yeah,
well,
they were finished recently.
They were started in another time.
They were sprayed.
These
down.
Are from last year.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. These have been dragging on for a while.
Pre-pandemic.
But I tell you, yeah. But I was so happy with that bookcase, the way it turned out. I wasn't too thrilled about it. And then once I sprayed it and the finish on it, it looked beautiful. It just really looked so nice. Everybody that's seen it. they're just like, wow, it's amazing how nice it came out. And it was funny. The woman, her friend had contacted me and she said, you know, hey, can you come out and take a look at, you know, I got some work I need done. And I said, you're going to have to wait a while. I said, I'm kind of laid up. So I'm going to see her probably like in another month or so, I told her. But she was just moving into a new house and she wants something similar done with that. And then the other thing, it was something for my in-laws, and that's where I'm at actually now. I my father-in-law is very sick, and you know, it's unfortunate, but he needed something to put. He said for his medication, but I think it's for his martinis at night. He likes a martini.
That's his medication. Don't you judge that man's drugs.
Well, it's funny. He does have a glass that says medicine on it, you know, and that's what he puts his drink in. But he's just very sick, and they'd asked me, Jesus, probably about 8 or 9 months ago, and I had made it, and I wasn't really happy with it, and I changed the top on it. It kind of really just changed the look of it, and I brought it up there, and we're visiting with him, and like I said, he's in real, real bad shape, so it was just nice to get it to him and spend some time with him and my mother-in-law, and they were thrilled. It was funny, though, I'm sitting there, and they have really, like, you know, contemporary taste, and I'm looking, and everything's like light furniture. And I'm like, this fucking thing does not even match anything in this house. But their kitchen cabinets, it matched that. So it's
like a cherry.
Yeah. But it came out really nice. I was happy with it. He was thrilled, and he was just happy to have something, you know, that I made that was nice. He has a couple small things, but they were nice. They were happy to just have like a piece of furniture now, so just a little something.
That's nice.
But yeah, so I was happy. It just, you know, like I said, he's in a real bad way, and it just kind of made his life a little bit easier to have a little side table next to his chair now, and so he's happy, so that makes me happy, you know, so that was that. But yeah. So did you see, talk about furniture, did you see that fucking piece of furniture make what Miles made? Do you follow him?
I think he did.
Like a
on
console.
Instagram?
Yeah, he posted on Instagram. He just did a YouTube video on it. Okay. And it's like a stand for a TV.
Oh, yes.
Dude, that thing, right? Unbelievable. So I post on his Instagram. I'm like, dude, forget about going to college. I said, just keep doing what you're doing. So I'm friendly with his father online. His father goes, he's got one more year of high school still. That kid's in the 11th grade and made that thing.
Wow.
I was like, unbelievable.
That's very cool. Look, does he make the front? I only saw photos of it.
Yeah.
He made the front.
Yeah, he made the front.
It's almost like a fish scale design. I don't know what it's called.
But. Well, it's so funny. As I watched a video, and the front of it's all made with 2x4s.
Oh, nice.
He cut them, sanded them, and you know, beveled them and everything, and glued them together, and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Wow,
it's walnut plywood.
Crazy.
Then he banded it. Dude, isn't it so badass looking?
That's nice. Really cool.
That's
yeah, so
cool.
Many people posted, like, dude, and I felt the same way. Like, people are gonna want that thing. Like,
it almost
he
looks like a guitar
that,
amp.
Like,
oh yeah.
Well, it's so funny. Go look back a couple of videos. That's what he had just made, a guitar amp.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's like,
the Kumiko one is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
but can
crazy.
You imagine he's in the 11th grade?
That's,
yeah,
that's
it'll
like,
catch
on
for him. He'll.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get
that's crazy.
He'll get it going.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time with like videos like that. Like, he'll just pick up, and then that'll be his,
dude,
that'll be his job.
Yeah, his videos are so good. And like I said, he did that stop motion animation with the guy on the one wheel during COVID, and it was like the poor kid must have been so bored, you know, and he just had some time. But that came out so cool. He's just so talented and creative. It's just really, really inspiring to think he's like in the 11th grade. I thought it was like he was going into college, like not that that's any older, but you know, it's like holy shit. But yeah, so that was I just saw that. I watched that video. That thing was really cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome. I like this thing a lot. It's beautiful.
Yeah, isn't that just beautiful looking? I love the look of it. Another idea I might have to steal.
Yeah, just do it. You got to do it.
Yeah. It's flattering, isn't it?
Of course.
It's like my way of saying it's awesome, dude.
You have to have the, you just have to get more subscribers. Do you have more subscribers than him?
No, I doubt it. I think he's got way more than me.
He is like 15,000.
Dude, speaking of people getting their shit stolen, that do you guys follow on YouTube the Q? Oh my God, that poor bastard. Dude, the guy's got 12 million followers and he's got to steal Bernie's thing and acted like he thought the idea.
Well, you know what? I'm not defending him, but I will say this.
What?
Bernie's thing has been ripped off by all these Chinese companies.
This
guy probably saw it on some Alibaba website.
Oh yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Like it's not like he saw it on Bernie's Instagram.
No, I know, but that's why I say I feel bad.
The guy's probably like, who the hell is this?
And at least
the
guy made it himself, though.
Yeah.
But at least the guy made it. It's not like he was just making a video showing it off. Like the dude actually spends time building it. You know. So I give him. And I think if he would have just credited Bernie, it would have made it all fine. But it's
dude. That's
like,
all Bernie would
just say,
really
hey, like, you know, like somebody else made this first. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but, I know. But just like Bernie just sucks. Keeps getting shit on so
I think
bad
he's trying to patent
thing.
It.
He is.
Right? Isn't
he
trying to patent it?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I get the purpose of patenting it, but at the same time, it kind of seems like.
Yeah.
Unless you have like a cousin who's a patent attorney, it kind of seems like he would spend a lot of money, and it wouldn't really do too much to help him. I'm just, you know, and I don't mean this in a negative way.
Yeah,
I support Bernie and everything he does, but by the time he gets it patented, he's not going to stop anybody in China from making it. You know, like they're still going to be making these
patents. Don't really apply to them over there.
Yeah,
no, they don't give a fuck.
Plus, fidget spinners are kind of
no, and I was
out.
I don't remember who I was talking about. I was talking to somebody about patenting a product, and it was actually a friend of mine called me because their friend's son wants to develop a product and wants to find somebody that can help him get it manufactured and maybe patent it. And I was like, I mean, I don't know anybody that does anything in patenting because it's not even worth patenting. By the time you're done, if you advertise it while you're developing it. Well, not only that, so, if you do, like, a Kickstarter, right?
Yeah.
Chances are, to get the money to do the patent, you need the Kickstarter. As soon as you get it on Kickstarter, someone is starting to steal it. So, by the time you're done patenting it, somebody else has already made it. Exactly. Somebody's already made it and sold it. That's been a big thing with Kickstarter. People will come out with these technology things. Dude, before your Kickstarter is over...
Yeah.
Before your Kickstarter's over, someone's already made it and put it on Amazon.
Exactly. Mm.
So why, like, you're already screwed. And a lot of times, it's the factory that you were reaching out to in China to make it.
100%, yeah.
Because they don't give a shit. Like, the fact that nobody has ripped off the Wazer and made, like, an Alibaba version of it is
because it's a nightmare to try and get it to work.
Yeah, because
it's such a pain in the ass to make. It must be what it is. But, like... You know, like, I can't believe that somebody else isn't making a Jimmy DiResta ice pick on Amazon for $4. Mm. You know?
An ice pick,
you
said?
That gave me an idea.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I missed that.
Right?
Brilliant.
Like, how come somebody hasn't... I mean, and if any of these people in Shenzhen had any idea how many ice picks Jimmy sold,
that's almost a little different
now.
Because it's a branded thing. Like people
but somebody
are buying
would still
them.
Buy. If you had a DiResta ice pick on Amazon for $4, I guess.
Oh yeah, people
would
probably
would
get confused
and cool thing.
They'd think it was like Jimmy's and maybe, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah.
Jimmy's so cheap, he'd probably buy them and stamp them and resell them.
Right. Why not? Well, remember? I mean, remember what Jimmy used to have to do when he made ice picks? He would have to pull them out of ice picks that he bought from the restaurant to get the steel.
Yeah,
he used to rip the metal out. I think he used to heat it up, right, and pull them out.
Yeah,
because he couldn't just buy the stick, the pick. He had to buy a whole ice pick. It's funny when I was before I met Jimmy, before I knew any of you guys. When I was making knives, I was making bottle openers. I would sell a knife with a matching bottle opener with the same scales, and I would order them from this website called, like, I think it was like restaurantsupply.com. They sold you ever seen like a bartender's bottle opener? It's like a long metal, almost looks like a paddle.
Yeah.
So I would buy those in stainless, and I would cut them, and I would make them like this big. So like... But it had that nice stamped bottle opener in it, and it was kitchen grade stainless, and they were like $2 each. Like I couldn't,
isn't that amazing?
I couldn't even buy the stainless for that cost.
Yeah,
and that was the only way for me to do it was to buy them and drill them and cut them myself, And when I saw Jimmy doing it with the ice picks, I was like, oh, I'm not the only asshole that has to do shit like this. You know, like,
yeah.
It made me feel better. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, Pinto, how's your truck restoration coming along? It seems like that's your new railing.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's better than railings.
Better than railings.
Dude, I haven't been watching your stories, and it's like I look at your photo, I'm like, dude, it's got a fucking frame. I'm like,
the
whoa,
truck's in complete pieces. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's funny, there really
so what
isn't...
happened with that fender, the creased fender?
Oh, that one's getting scrapped. That fender's shot. And I'm probably going to have to get... I'm in a little bit of a dilemma because it's an F3, which is causing a lot more problems than I anticipated for trying to find parts.
What if about just changing it over to an F-150 body or an F-100
I was about... body? I was honestly thinking of doing that. Like, I'll tell you what is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back is if there's any problem with this flathead motor, like if there's a crack in it that I can't fix. Because apparently, I guess you have to take it apart, blast it, and MagnaFlux the motor.
What's that? Do you seal any gaps or whatever?
No, it basically is magnetic powder that's got a color to it, and it will. You hold a big magnet up to the block, and it sucks it into any cracks.
Okay.
That's cool.
But there's certain cracks in flatheads. Like, I'm sure this motor's cracked in certain places, which are fine. Like, almost every flathead out there has some type of crack in it. A lot of times it's where the stud and the water, like, ports are, like, for the antifreeze. And that one's easily fixable. But if there's any type of major cracks in it, then... I told my father, I'm like, I'm getting a new modern frame for an F1. I'm taking the cab and the hood off. I'm getting an F1 bed, F1 fenders, and putting like a big motor in it, and then just completely changing it over. Because at that point, it's like, it's too much trouble to like keep everything else. Because I can't find a bed. I can't find the right fenders. Because the fenders are the same shape with a bigger opening in them. And if the motor's gone, then... I don't know. And also, the frame is a little bit tweaked, which I found.
Why do you think that the motor might be cracked? Why do you think
it's just a possibility with flatheads?
Yeah.
The way they're designed is it's a V8, but there's only three exhaust ports because the two center cylinders share one, and that builds up a ton of heat. And so a lot of times they could be cracked. But I don't. It's unlikely that it's cracked in a major way because it didn't smoke or anything when we ran it, and it ran good. So I don't know. We'll see.
Just keep at it, kid.
You
got it.
The easier but more expensive route would be to just convert it over to an F1. But I'd rather keep it original if I can, you know.
I'm looking forward to seeing it done.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be cool. I'm hoping
You got to do like Trent Presler. You got to put like a brand on it. You know, you got to put like the Fairfield Steelworks logo on the side. And then everyone will know. Every time you go to Pepe's, they'll be like, oh,
yeah,
it's the Fairfield Steelworks guy.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. That'll be real.
What other stuff you guys have in cranking in the shop right now? Or do you just have like a team of guys working and you're just tinkering with the car?
After they leave. And it's funny, they'll come in the next day, they'll be like, holy shit, like the car is completely in pieces. Like last time they saw it, the cab was on. Like,
and you're sleeping on like the front seats.
It's funny. But we've been doing a ton of different railings, which I'm getting sick of saying, but you know, they make a lot of money. A lot of stainless. We got a little structural job coming up, possibly a big structural job in the works, and then a super humongous structural job that I told you guys about like over a year ago, and it's still getting pushed back a little bit because it's a long story, but it's going to happen.
The bigger the job, the more pushed back it becomes usually, right?
Yeah. This is a real interesting situation I'm dealing with here. Yeah. But it's going to happen, and it's going to be great for me once it does. But we'll see. We got a lot of good stuff coming. I am working on the roller tables for the big Marvel saw, which are coming out good. I had the guys working on that today, and I designed it so that I could replace. I used rather than just taking pieces of channel and drilling holes and putting the rollers in the holes of the channel, I sheared and punched a bunch of little pieces of 2x2 by quarter inch angle, and then bolted those up on to the top flange of the C channel, and that way I could just unbolt each individual roller, because I know one of my guys is going to drop like a beam on it and break like three of the rollers or bend them, and I'm going to have to replace them. So rather than taking the entire thing apart, I got to make them removable.
Nice. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So it's
how wide are you going to be on that? Like 20 feet?
I'm going to have, my plan is to have 15 feet of outfeed. It's going to be a little more than 15 feet, probably like 17 feet. And because the longest beam I'm going to be cutting is a 40 footer. And if you cut it in half, that's the longest piece you can cut. So I'll have like 17 feet on rollers, and then, you know, if 3 feet has to hang off, you know, it's no big deal. And then on the infeed side, I'll have a 20-foot section, then a space, like a 3-foot-wide space, so I could walk behind the saw. And if I'm using a forklift, I could drop the forklift forks in between the two sections, or a crane with a strap, and then a 5-foot section, and then the saw, and then the 15-foot section. So,
nice.
It should be, it should work out pretty good.
A lot going on down there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big, that's a large material.
Yeah. And now I got another guy working. He's been really good. So we're moving along. It's nice, like, when you have a nice, efficient crew of people, like, you can really crank out some stuff. Like, I have two guys right now that are really, really solid, and it's better than having, like, six dummies running around just wasting your time and you know, breaking things and not getting things done.
Yeah, I mean, most businesses have six dummies, so...
Yeah.
You gotta avoid that. I think. Yeah,
yeah, that's normally what people do, and it's just not a good way of doing things.
Yeah, no, no good. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So, other than stuff made here, which we've all been watching, except Paul, what have we been watching? What do you got, Derek?
No, I'm gonna recommend my buddy Donnie, Designs by Donnie. He put it out this little story, which I had known for quite a while, and he had shared with me, him and his wife. And I tell you, we had, I think you were there, Chris, when we were talking with them at like Workbench Con, and. I had a good cry with that guy and stuff, and just he's just such a good guy, and he just has such a great story, and he puts it out there, like, how he, like, lost everything and just, like, banked on, making furniture, and he had no idea how to do it. And it was just funny, when I talked with him down there, he was like, he goes, I could just look at furniture and just see how it came apart in my head, and I just was like, I can make those pieces. And he goes, and that's what I did, and then he went with the big furniture because nobody else was making big furniture. Mm-hmm. And, as a smaller guy, he realizes why nobody was making big furniture, because it weighs a lot, and he's always struggling with that. But he just makes such beautiful shit. And it's not like fake big furniture where, like, things are hollow and stuff. Like, he makes some big ass furniture, and it's beautiful. And he's just a good guy, and I still stay in touch with him, and we message back and forth and stuff, and that's it. So that's mine, Designs by Donnie.
Nice. What part of Florida is he in?
I want to say Jacksonville, but I'm not sure. I know it's the hot part.
Okay, it's all hot. Because I've been meaning to ask him where he's based out of, because with my future trips down there, I'm like, I'd love to go and see where he's at, but I don't think he's anywhere near where I'm going to be.
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
All right. What you been watching?
Me, I've been. Well, I watched our stuff made here, boy. What else? I got to go in the YouTube history. What other good stuff?
I was listening to a lot of those World War II things. Those are over the top, dude.
Crazy.
Oh my God. Nuts.
I can't get enough of them. I've been trying to, like, because it's so much, and it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally, like, I'll, because when you watch one, if it's in your phone, if it's on your phone in your pocket or something, it plays like the next one.
Well, that's,
I need
that's
to get hooked
get
into that,
dude,
that feed of videos.
It's crazy. It's really,
crazy.
It really, like.
What's so sad is the guys are like, is it okay to say this? You know?
Yeah.
You know it's going to be something real heavy. And it's like, these fucking poor guys, the shit they did, you know, it was like horrific. And it just so, they're such gentlemen about it. And they're not like those motherfuckers. And, you know, they're just like, and one of them tells a funny story how they were killing the Japanese guys and they were killing them. And then he goes, we came across two of them and we were two babies and we could tell they were babies. And we're like, hey, how about if we just let each other go? And they're like, just kind of like figured it out and like screwed, you know? And it just, it's just sad. They're fucking young kids, man.
Yeah, 17, 18-year-old kids. Yeah, that's the just, part that gets me the most.
Yeah,
is that
my son's
guys...
19. Yeah. You know?
Could you imagine Max storming the beach in Normandy?
No, never.
I don't know.
Last year.
Max, he'd be like,
he won't storm the fucking beach where I'm at right now.
My Jordans are getting dirty.
He won't storm the garbage pails back in.
Yeah. You're at the fucking lake right now. He won't storm this beach. You know? So it just, you know, I love him to death, but no way. He's not storming the beach. He'd run like hell, but the other way. You know?
Crazy.
But
it's just crazy.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it when I listen to the stories these guys tell.
Yeah, you know, it's really compelling. It's unbelievable. Really, I'm gonna recommend my friend Anthony Panza.
Oh,
did
you
guys watch his city bike video?
Oh, he's so crazy.
So he
Derek. Yeah.
So you know what? You know what a city bike is? They have those in Boston or no?
Probably a different, different company.
Yep.
So, so like the shitty rental bike for anybody that doesn't know what a city
worst
bike
bikes
is.
On earth.
So, and my friend Anthony is the professional BMX rider who I built the ramp for. He takes out a city bike and he jumps down these big staircases, these like legendary New York City BMX spots. And he blows the front wheel off. Then he does the last thing he does when he breaks the bike is that's like the courthouse. That's a very famous New York City spot because you drop in off this
it's
ledge
like a
into a bank.
10-foot ledge.
Yeah, and then you jump off the ledge. And what's crazy is that it's literally at the New York City Supreme Court building, and nobody ever gets kicked out of there. Like,
really?
No one says a word. Yeah, it's years and years and years people have been riding that spot.
Wow.
You'd think you'd, like, go right to jail. No one says a thing. But he jumps off on a city bike. He is so entertaining and hysterical.
Yeah, he's really good.
He deserves it. He's doing great, and he's doing really well. His channel's doing well, and I'm happy to see it. So check out my boy Anthony Pans on the city bike. Good for
I love how he beeps out the swears.
Yeah, he's meticulous about getting rid of the curse words, and it's been good for him. The problem is, though, his channel gets every video he posts gets freaking demonetized because he uses like mainstream music. He
so what's
just
the point
does
of bleeping out the swears
for parents because he doesn't want parents not because he sells so many of those bikes to little kids, and most of his merch is sold to kids like under the age of 16.
Gotcha.
So he says once you start swearing in the videos, the parents hear you in the background when the kid's watching on the iPad, and then they tell the kids they can't watch anymore. He goes, and that's that's it. They'll just they'll tell the kids they can't watch your videos. He goes, so as long as you keep it kind of like PG, well, you know, he smokes weed and he drinks in the videos and stuff, but as long as there's no cursing, the parents don't give a shit. So
all those kids are smoking weed and drinking anyway.
Hey, I gotta do a big shout out. I just slipping through this video and somebody mentioned Jake Paul. And Graz, with his keen eye, or his wife, had seen that he was looking at Jake Paul's or his brother's studio. And lo and behold, there's a sign in the background that says, "Life is a dry hand job."
No.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I'll
oh
send it to
my
you guys.
God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Shout out to
Jesus
Christ.
Yeah. So
wow.
funny, huh?
That
just
is
so,
so
funny.
Funny.
Wow. That's amazing. I could see them loving that. You know.
Yeah. So
that's
funny.
So funny. Good for John DeResta.
Yeah.
He's just the best.
Yeah, he didn't even know it was there. And
remember the story he
so
told?
Funny.
You never know.
It was me, Derek. I think it was me, you, him, and like Lainey. And we were in the car at night. And
oh,
I'm like, John,
God.
Give me a good story. And I'm not even going to say what the story was. I forget half of it. And by the end of the story, we all kind of looked at each other. We're like, what the hell did he just tell us? Like, it didn't even... It was just the craziest story. Like, we're all just kind of looking at each other like, oh, my God.
I just sent it to you.
She didn't know what the hell was going on.
Wow.
It's definitely
poor
his
lady.
Sign,
she's probably like, who? This is Jimmy's brother?
Yeah. Shit.
The after show, I'll tell you what he said in front of some mixed company. And Jimmy was there and a couple other people I'm not going to mention because it would give it up what he had said. But it was just kind of wild. But tell that in the after show.
That's for the after show.
Yeah.
The after show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah. Paul, did you say what you're watching?
I actually watched years and years ago, but I revisited it. Was the Vice series on North Korea with like Shane Smith.
Oh, after
I guess his name,
to,
right?
Yeah. After listening to what's her name,
dude, I'm hearing mixed reports on this girl on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Did you listen to Andrew Schultz's?
Dude, oh, when he said she got the heavies,
tore into her. Yeah, that was so. I mean, it's fucked up. It's so funny.
Oh my god, he's funny.
He's so funny.
But dude, I think she actually might be embellishing a little bit, and it's funny because
it's fine. But you know what was interesting?
I'm sure the things she's saying exist.
Did you notice that Joe Rogan didn't change the subject and wouldn't? I think Joe Rogan, as much as he appreciates the like comedy.
Yeah.
I think he was really compelled by her interview, and when Andrew was talking shit, Joe kind of was like, "Not."
Yeah,
he didn't go along with it.
Anything.
Did you notice
that?
Yeah. And
then
he was like, "Oh, you got a nice watch on." He changes the subject because I think he was like, "You know what? Like, she's a 13-year-old. Well, she's 26, but yeah, and had an unbelievable story about getting out of North Korea and like it's just crazy. The craziest." Story Yeonmi Park, right?
Yeah, but there's some weird stuff now that I've been reading, and like I'm sure everything she said has definitely happened. Like it's obviously it's a horrendous place and it's terrible. Like, but there are a lot of from the articles that I read, there's a lot of inconsistencies in her story over the years. She said one thing, you know, on the South Korean show, she says a different thing now. The mother is also. Said different things in her, like, over the years, like, pretty, like, serious inconsistencies. So I'm wondering, like, what is true and what is not. But, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of it is true, and it's some pretty terrible stuff that she went through. But it is weird. And one of the things I heard was that she actually, in North Korea, was their version of upper class, which is... exists. And from other videos I've watched in North Korea, there are different classes of people, and there's like businessmen, and then it's still really, you know, screwed up. But I don't know, it was definitely an interesting podcast. I think people should still listen to it. But I kind of started watching all these North Korea videos, and I watched his the Vice video back when Vice was good. This is from like 9 years ago, and god, it is a bizarre place. It's so bizarre the way they do things, and everything is staged, and they watch your every move. And, you know, I guess one of the things that happened in North Korea was there was, like, a huge famine. And so when he went over there, they wanted to pretend and make it look like they had just tons and tons of food. And he walks into this banquet hall. There's, like, all these waitresses. And he's the only one in this banquet hall. Probably could have housed, like, 500 people. And they just brought out plates of food and put it on every table. And then he said the food was like, he said it was just like matter. He said it was so bad. He said I could only describe it as just matter. Like he said it was so horrible. But he ate what he could. And then they all just gathered all the plates and brought them back. And there was nobody else in the entire dining hall. It was just really weird. Like, I don't know.
Yo, go on, watch the 60 Minutes segment, The Ghost Cities of China. And they have these fake malls.
The Paris one,
It's just crazy. They got all these restaurants and everything. They're all fake restaurants. It's craziness. It's just nuts.
A crazy part of the world.
I saw another thing. Was they had this like computer laboratory almost where like they had all these North Koreans like typing on computers to make it look like they were doing like research or like working for the government.
Nothing.
They literally were like scrolling up and down like through lists of things or like just moving the mouse around or like clicking on and off different tabs on the internet. Like they literally weren't doing anything. And when the people were
like
filming,
every other American in an office working.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much what I do when I'm in my office.
Yeah, that's pretty much what everybody does, you know?
Look at an email.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
No.
Oh, God. Well, anyway.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Episode 52.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, if you haven't listened to Jimmy's episode of Making It about Aaron, I think it's something that everybody in the maker community should listen to, just because he was such a good guy, and he really, really cared about the community of people around him selflessly, aside from the fact that he was a 10-year veteran of the United States Marines, which we all owe him something for just on its own. Anyway, we're all going to miss Aaron. So thanks, guys, for listening. Check us out on everything, everywhere. We never post on Instagram, but we have an Instagram. I think I forgot the password, but check us out there. Patreon, Instagram, YouTube, OnlyFans, all
that's
the stuff.
That's what I was just about to say. You beat me to it.
See y'all. See y'all next week.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.